Tonight I want to talk about courage. You know, courage sometimes comes easy to us and sometimes it doesn't. Sometimes it's hard to be courageous if you find yourself in a circumstance where it's just easier to turn around and run. Courage is defined as the quality of being fearless or brave. It is an attitude that will face danger and will not run from it and will not withdraw. There are actually two Greek words for the word courage that we have in the Scriptures. One Greek word, the word kazox, it means to be bold and to be full of confidence. The second Greek word is amats, which means to be hard and fortified and to be steadfast-minded. So both of these words are describing an attitude basically of being fearless, that being determined to do what it is that you need to do as situations arise in our lives. You know, since the beginning of time, it has really taken courage to be godly, to be righteous. And you know, we find that it didn't take long for man to fail in that effort, even in the Garden of Eden that God put Adam and Eve. We find even with the next generation, it was very hard to be courageous, to live righteous lives, and we see that in the son, their son Cain. You know, David tells us in Psalm 31, verse 24, he said, "Be of good courage, and he will strengthen your heart, and all you who hope in the Lord." So what David is telling us here is our greatest avenue of courage comes from God. Now, you know, I know we see on TV people who exemplify courage on the screen, and they fight the enemy, and they do all these miraculous things, and it shows a lot of courage on their part. Of course, that's all created in Hollywood. True courage just simply means you're going to do the right thing regardless. Even when people stand against you, even when people go against you and try to stop you from being godly in your lives, it takes courage to continue to do so. You know, Paul had this disposition in his life, and we read of it in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, beginning with verse 6. He said, "So we are always confident, knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord, for we walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather, to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord." Now, Paul is trying to tell us, right now, we're in a situation where we cannot be with God. We all want to be with God. You know, if Paul found himself hard-pressed, whether desiring to stay here or desiring to leave this earth and go be with the Father, and he said it easy. He said, "I'd rather be with the Father." He said, "But I'm not. I'm here. Therefore, I need to work at it. I need to take courage. I need to take heart. I need to be sure that I'm walking by faith. God is with me. God will stand by me." So we need courage as Paul had a courageous disposition about him. The Hebrew writer also gives us a source of courage in Hebrews 13 and verse 6. And he says, "So we may boldly say, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me?'" Now, this is another attitude that we really need in our lives. Not worrying what the devil can do to us or what man can do to us, knowing that with courage we can stand fast in our faith in God, knowing that God will stand with us, knowing that God will be with us in all things. And another thing that we can do, we can turn to other righteous people for courage as well. In Isaiah chapter 41 and verse 6, we have an example here. "Everyone helped his neighbor and said to his brother, 'Be of good courage.'" Now these are the children of Israel doing this. They are taking care of one another. Now inside of these walls, we are a church family. And sometimes some of the members of our church family becomes weak. And we need to strengthen one another when that happens. We need to help them through difficult times in life and give them encouragement and give them courage that they may have lost. Because you see, we're all in this together. We are working together for the same cause. We need to help one another to reach this same goal that we have. We must be courageous for one another. And also, even if we are the only one, we still need to find that element of courage to stand against the wiles of the devil. Deuteronomy chapter 31 and verse 6. We are told, be strong and be of good courage and do not be afraid of them. For the Lord your God, He is the one who goes with you. He will not leave you nor forsake you. You know, this verse right here should be among the greatest words of comfort and strength that we could receive. Knowing that regardless of where we are, regardless of what we do, regardless of the situation that we find ourselves in, God is going to be with us. He is never going to walk away from us. Now, I know that there are times that all of us have walked away from God. But God will never walk away from us. He will not leave you. He will never forsake you. He is the one who goes with you. And we can take courage in that. We can stand firm in God because we know that He stands with us. So courage is a very important thing in our lives. So what I want to do for the next few minutes is I want us to discuss some ways that we need to let our hearts take courage. We may find at times that our courage is not what it should be. And I want to talk about some ways that can help us be more courageous in our Christian life. Number one, we need to take courage and stand for the truth. You know, Paul experienced a tremendous sadness. On one occasion, he had actually been forsaken. We read of this in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 10, "For Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world." Now here was someone who stood by Paul. He was with Paul when he worked for the kingdom. He helped Paul in his efforts in Christianity. Now all of a sudden, he's gone. He has decided that there is something else in this life that is more important to him than God. He has decided, "Paul, I can't stand with you anymore because I want to go over here and stand. I want the world. I want to have fun. I want the pleasures that I have coming to me." And he walked away from Paul. And you know, I guess in one way or the other, we have all had people walk away from us. Maybe not in a religious standpoint, but in life in general. People that we thought we could depend on. People that we thought stood by us. People that we thought worked with us. Then all of a sudden, they're gone. You know, it's not easy to stand against people with your Christianity. It's not easy to stand against family and friends and acquaintances and stand up for what is right. Many times we want to find a closet to go into. We want to find a hole to crawl into so that people won't see our Christianity and our righteousness because of what they may think about it. We've lost our courage. But you know, the fact is, the truth and one person is a majority in God's sight. If we stand for what is right, even if we have to stand alone, we gain God's approval. And if you stand with God and His truth, then you are a majority. So we need to stand in courage for the truth of God. Another thing we need to do is take courage and to speak that truth. You know, it's one thing to know something. It's something else to share it. Looking again at the Apostle Paul, as we read from his writings throughout the Scripture, we find that he did not hesitate to speak the truth of God's Word. He did not hesitate to tell someone when their life was not correct. He did not hesitate to tell of his own example of what he used to be before he became a Christian, the horrible, horrible person that he was. He did not hesitate to tell how God had changed his life, how God now stands by him, how now he has courage to stand for God instead of against God. We should never hesitate to speak God's words of truth. You know, Paul asked the people in the church of Galatia, in Galatians 4 and verse 16, he said, "Have I therefore become your enemy because I tell you the truth?" Is there times in our lives that we have refrained from telling someone what they needed to hear because we were afraid to tell them the truth? And have we fabricated other things to tell them because we did not want to tell them the truth? You know, speaking God's word is not easy. We're going to have people to oppose us. We're going to have people that's going to be angry with us. And we're going to have people that are going to cause divisions with us because we speak the truth of God's word. People will become offended and upset when you speak plainly about the gospel of Christ. But the fact of it is the truth that has saved us, and it is the truth that will keep us saved, and it is the truth that will keep us standing with courage. And we need that courage. So take courage and speak the truth. The next thing is we need to take courage and live righteous lives. You know, in the book of Ezra, we find that God's people had just literally gone mad after things of the flesh. They had intermarried with pagans, and they had committed all kind of sin. They had literally been consumed with sin. However, as we read through this story, we get to chapter 10, and we find that God's people have realized what they have done through the teachings of Ezra, of course. And they have decided now that they are going to make things right. They're going to put away all of these intermarried pagan wives. They're going to make a new covenant with God according to the law that has been already given to them. And I want you to listen to what Ezra told the people in verse 4 of Ezra chapter 10. "Arise," he said, "for this matter is your responsibility. We are also with you, and be of good courage and do it." They have decided they need to do something right. So now Ezra's saying, hey, take courage. Do it. Do the right thing. Look at what you have already done. Look at how you have already messed up your lives. It's time to change. It's time to turn around. So go ahead and do it. Live righteous lives before God. But in our world, we find it's not easy to be pure because we live in a very impure world. But it can be done. And Paul tells us how in Philippians chapter 4. And I want to read this to you, verses 8 and 9 of Philippians chapter 4. "Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you." To do these things, however, takes courage. It takes courage to be pure in an impure world. It takes courage to be noble where there is no nobility. It takes courage to be good when it's hard to see goodness in the people around you. So we need to take courage with our lives to be sure that they are righteous lives. Next, we need to take courage and oppose evil. Not only do we just stay away from it, we have to stand against it as well. You know, it takes a lot of courage to be a Christian in a world of ungodliness. And, you know, we ought to know that today because look at the world we're living in. We live in an ungodly world. And no, we don't have to go to Washington to see it. We don't have to go to Atlanta to see it. We can step outside our door and almost cross the street and see it. It takes a lot of courage to fight ungodliness. We have an example in 2 Chronicles chapter 15, a man by the name of King Asa. Now, King Asa was one of the very few kings of Israel that actually did good in the sight of God. I want to read to you here in verse 8. It says here that when Asa heard these words and the prophecy of Oded the prophet, he took courage. And he removed the abominable idols from all of the land of Judah and Benjamin and from the cities which he had taken in the mountains of Ephraim. And he restored the altar of the Lord that was before the vestibule of the Lord. He undone everything that worldly people had done when it come to worshiping God. Isn't it a pity that we don't have people today with that kind of courage? We need people today in our country to do what Asa did. To stand firm in what is right. Make the changes that makes life right. I know every one of us in this room have been consumed with sin at one time or another. Have you ever noticed that when it starts, it just snowballs? It never starts and stops. It just starts and gets worse and worse and worse. And you get deeper and deeper and deeper into the problem that you have. And there seems to never be an end. You see, that's what worldliness will do to you. That's what evil will do to you. And this is what has happened to Israel here. And then finally Asa said, hey, that's it. We're changing this. We're going back to the way things ought to be. Friends, we need leadership like that today that will do that for us. You know, not only do our leaders oppose evil, but it seems like they pass laws to encourage it, doesn't it? So many laws that support abortion, homosexuality, drinking, gambling. Laws prohibiting our law enforcement from doing its job in protecting us and even punishing them when they try. We all know that's happening now. Isn't that sad? That's that snowball effect that I'm talking about. It just gets worse and worse and worse. Sooner or later, someone is going to step in and say, okay, that's it. We've had enough. And my friends, if that someone happens to be God, if we could wind up like Rome, we could wind up like the children of Israel, which no longer exist. And that can happen to us just as it happened to them. So my friends, we need to take courage with our lives and oppose those things which are evil. Then finally, we need to take courage and oppose the false teaching. We're going to bring it home now. It's not easy to confront sin. It's not easy to confront someone who has committed sin. It's not easy to walk to someone and talk to them about the error of their way. We have one altercation where this actually took place in the Scripture in the New Testament between two very popular apostles of Jesus Christ. I'm talking about the altercation between Paul and Peter. It seems that Peter was playing the part of a hypocrite when dealing with the Gentiles. He knew that the Gentiles had been accepted by Jesus Christ. He knew that they had been accepted for Christianity. And he deals with the Gentiles in a very good way until other Jews come around. And when the other Jews come along, he withdraws himself and he separates himself from the Gentiles because he is afraid. He's lost his courage. He is afraid of what the Jews might think. Even to the point to where he carried many of the Christian disciples along with him to do the very same thing. And Paul knew that this was wrong. Paul was, I guess you might say, a junior to the Apostle Peter. But Paul knew that this was wrong. And in Galatians chapter 2 and verse 11, he stood before this great apostle and he withstood him to the face. It says, because he was to be blamed. Let's think about that for a minute. Peter could have been a very intimidating person in this situation. I mean, he was one of the original apostles. He was with Jesus from the very, very beginning. He had been with Jesus in the flesh. Peter was a pillar of Christianity in Jerusalem. And yet Peter's behavior endorsed separating from the Gentiles. We would call him today a racist. And that's exactly what he was. And this was wrong. We do know that Peter repented and corrected this, and all was well. But it is so easy to fall into sin, and it is so hard to talk to someone about their sin. A false teacher can come in, and if we're not courageous, they can take us over. Peter tells us that they are smooth talkers, and they're slick. 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 2 and 3, and many will follow their destructive ways, because of whom the way of truth will be blasphemed. By covetousness they would exploit you with deceptive words. For a long time their judgment has not been idle, and their destruction does not slumber. They're going to sneak in when you least expect it. You better have courage to stand against them. And Paul says it's going to get even worse. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 13, but evil men and impostors will grow worse and worse, deceiving and being deceived. And that's why he tells us we need courage. 2 Timothy chapter 4, he said we need to preach the word. We need to be ready in season, out of season. We need to be able to convince, rebuke, exhort with all long-suffering and teaching. We need to have courage and face these people and correct these people. So it takes courage, my friend, be a Christian. You know, we can take courage that many of the disciples did not bow their knee to sin. Oh, they made their mistakes and they committed their sins, but they did not allow sin to consume them and to control them. I would like to think that's the way it is with us. Yes, we all sin, but we do not allow sin to control us. And that's so important. Being courageous enough to stand with the Lord in this life will make it possible for us to stand with Him, and more importantly, Him stand by us in judgment. So I guess my question to you tonight is this. Do you have the courage to stand up for your Lord? Do you have the courage to speak His truth? Do you have the courage to live a righteous life? Do you have the courage to oppose evil and false teaching that you come across in your life? Or have you allowed these things to take away your courage? Do you sit idly in the corner with your mouth closed when opportunity to stand up for Christ is there? That be the change, my friends. You need to repent of that now. Put back into your life the courage that it takes to be a Christian. And if you're not a Christian, it takes courage to become one. It takes courage to step out in faith. It takes courage to be willing to repent of your sins and change your life. It takes courage to confess Jesus as the Son of God. And it takes courage to step down into those watery graves of baptism and have your sins washed away. Yes, it takes courage to live for the Lord. I do hope that we all have that courage. Tonight, if you find that you're lacking this courage, I do hope that you can find it. I do hope that you will come and give your life to the Lord, or give your life back to the Lord, and put courage into your life once again. If you need to respond to the invitation, please come as we stand and sing.